to him tonight. Well, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. One more time. That tonight. We have got just a very few prayer requests tonight, and I'm going to ask Brother Terry Horn, if you don't mind, to come pray over these for us tonight. Please remember Sister Jan Hall, very sick. Sister Janet turns that in tonight. Also pray for Sister Linda Loris, coming off medications, having a difficult time. Also, Dakota Harmon is sick in body. This is also a note to please continue to pray for Brother and Sister Baker. Sister Christine's having severe pain in her hip. Brother Baker's been having foot problems and has been at home since Wednesday. But God will surely move for both of them. Thank you all for your prayers. So let's remember the Baker family. Also, Brother Samuel Shuffler turns in a request. He's had a bike wreck. Got a small cut on his arm. Back. Also, it looks like his bike was messed up. It's going to cost him quite a bit of money to get that fixed. So let's remember him. Let's stand tonight. Brother Terry comes and prays over these needs tonight.
Happy to be here tonight. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, is just so happy to be back in the house of the Lord. I was thinking last Wednesday morning, I got up and I said, I have to go to work today, but tonight I get to go to church. And we think about even the way the wording of that, I have to go to work, but we get to go to church. And I thought about that great sermon that Brother Donnie preached, the two different dimensions, you know, the contrast between two different dimensions. And really, that's what it is, the things of the flesh and the natural things that we have to do. It's okay, but Lord, our real passion is the things that are spiritual. We want our mind and our life and our focus and our desire to be on spiritual things. Yes, we have to be enough earthly good to be some contribution to society, but Lord, truly our focus is on spiritual things. And we're happy, Lord, that you've put that within our hearts, that we can have that. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to church tonight. We think about these requests, Lord, Sister Baker, and the different ones that were mentioned, these two or three. We ask the three sisters there, you touch them, heal their bodies, make them well. Lord, by your stripes they're healed. You only said one thing. Can we appropriate that faith? If we have faith, then we know this is going to be done, because the thing has already been paid. The healing has already been paid for. You said, can we believe? So if we can believe, it shall come to pass, if there be no other restrictions. So Lord, we're just asking you to grant these things. Lord, as our brother comes to minister the word tonight, Lord, let it not be just a protracted meeting or just another Saturday night or just a time to come to church, but truly, Lord, let it be a time of fellowship around the word. We're in the middle of winter time. It's almost like a lull, so to speak, Lord, but this is a happy time to be. This is a glorious time to be living. There's hardships and there's trials, Lord, but it's just an exciting time to the bride, because, Lord, it's just like the runner that's on the 440 relay or the marathon or whatever. He's got the baton in his hand. He's on the fourth and last lap. He's winning. He sees a ribbon just a few yards in front of him. It would be insanity for him to just say, I'm tired. I believe I'll just quit. Lord, we're winning. We're almost there. Why? We're just going to press to the end. We're just going to keep pressing on. So, Lord, we're happy that you give us that desire and that unction of the Holy Spirit to love you and to serve you and to come and worship you. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that does not have that zeal, does not have that desire, they've never been saved, they've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, they've never really had that new birth, and they've been transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost, let it be tonight, Lord, because We know it's going to take that to have a body change. We want to be birthed from above. We want to have the Spirit of Christ. The same Spirit that raised His body, Lord, it'll raise our body. We're happy to be here. I pray that You'll just receive our thanksgiving, touch each one of those. Lord, if there's probably people here that are sick in body, maybe don't feel that well, touch their bodies. And when we leave tonight, it's just like when Brother Donnie comes many times. Last weekend he was sick. He didn't feel well, but he came anyway. And he knew if he could get under that anointing that the Lord would make him feel better. And He did, and He always does. Lord, the same way with Laity. If we just get to the house of God, we know we'll feel better. You'll touch us, Lord. Even if it's just that our mind is not centered on our problems. Well, truly, Lord, but many times You truly physically touch us and make us well. We're so thankful. Bless all that's done and said. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated tonight.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He raised me. My feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus, Lord, You're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus, Lord, You're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus, Lord, You're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He's healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout.
Amen. Walking up the King's Highway, D, I think. If the brothers would like to come lift the offering tonight, let's just sing this song together tonight.
Well, my way gets brighter and my load gets lighter. Walking up the King's Highway, there's joy in knowing with Him I'm going. Walking up the King's Highway, it's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there. Don't have to hurry, walking up the King's Highway. Christ walks beside me, angels to guide me, walking up the King's while I'm talking, walking up the King's Highway. There'll be a blessing you'll soon be possessing if you're walking up the King's Highway.
Brother Caleb has a song for us tonight. Let's just enjoy that tonight.
I've spent my whole life beating up on me, always coming up short of who I wanted to be. Then one night a preacher man helped me find my way as he raised that old black book up high. I heard another side of grace. It's not what you do, it's what He's done. Who could ever deserve that kind of love? God, what you do. It's what he's done. If you've been struggling with that voice in your head, reminding you of your failures and all your regrets, and you wonder how God could ever want to take you back, I've got good news for you, my friend. He never left. It's not what you do, it's what he's done. Who could ever deserve that kind of love? A million years of trying, it still wouldn't be enough. It's not what you do, it's what he's done. His grace is so amazing. God's love is still enough. It's not what you do, it's what he's done.
Caleb, will you sing that chorus for us? My Redeemer is faithful and true. Let's stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Let's sing this with Brother Caleb tonight as Brother Donnie comes. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And I sure appreciated that song Caleb sung. That was beautiful, was it not? Let's just sing that chorus for us, Brother Donnie.
My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do, and every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read his promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you, and I know I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Mercies, they are new. My Redeemer, everybody, let's sing it now. All of our hearts. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning, my Redeemer is faithful and true.
saw.
Amen. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
From your own experience of knowing that He has been so faithful. Now, I don't even have to ask you if you have been. Because I know there's times you haven't been. You haven't been true. You haven't been good. Just like me. But He's faithful when I'm not. He's good when we're rotten. He smells sweet when we stink. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 tonight. So happy to be together in the house of God. What a privilege it is for us to be gathered together under the auspices of the presence of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Remember, the word believeth now is not somebody from an intellectual conception. I believe he came, I believe he died for me, I believe. But it is actually that they believe him so much, they commit their trust to him. Their life, their soul, their values, everything that they are. Now let's read together, How Can I Overcome, paragraph 71. We're going to break in on a story that Brother Branham is giving us, a parable here. He's talking about a child or a baby that's trying to put on a coat by itself. If the little baby keeps trying, oh, I can do it, I can do it. He's just everywhere. He can't do it. Neither can you, neither can I. Now, he's likening us to babies. Good, good. Now, whether or not you're going to admit to it, that's the way we are with a lot of things in our lives and our battles. We try to take it into our own charge and care and to be able to fight. This is the way many of us try to overcome. We make up in our mind by our will to defeat our flesh. And you're doing exactly the opposite of what you should do. What you need to do is surrender that will of yours to the Spirit of God and then let Him overcome through you. Instead of you, I've made up my, bless God, I'll tell you, and Satan is holding his sides laughing at you. That's exactly what he wants to hear you say. Well, I've done let my thunder grow out right the very first part. Now watch, Brother Ben said, I can't do it, neither can you, but if we'll just hold still and let him do it, just yield to him. Here, Lord, here I am. Just let me be nothing. I yield to him. Oh my. Notice this. He says, you put my hand in the right place. That's the victory. But now, wait a minute, don't we have enough sense to know how to put on a coat? We don't. Not a spiritual one. No, we think we do, and that's our problems. My, my. I know y'all don't know it yet, but this is going to really be good tonight. This is really going to be good. I mean, there's some good stuff laying here. Not my part. I'm talking about just what I'm going to read. Put my hand in the right place. That's the victory. That's the overcoming. The thing you have to overcome is yourself. Your idea, your thing. Surrender yourself to Him. He overcome for you. He knows the way. We don't. Well, we can be dismissed and go home and say it's been good to be in the house of God. Let's bow our heads together and ask the blessing of the Lord on the word. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. These are phenomenal things, Lord. I realize as far as the world would be concerned, and many of the great deep theologians around the message, to them it would be so simple. But Lord God, we thank you. For we realize only the elect will be able to overcome. Many of some of the deepest people I've met around this message, and they have such arrogant spirits about them. And the prophet of God said, arrogant spirits are not of God. So if they're not from you, who are they from? Lord, some of those that feel they understand so much and know so much, and yet don't even know how to overcome their own arrogance and pride. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd speak to us. We're like little children. We're bringing our coat up to Papa. We've struggled to put it on. We've had it upside down, right side out, inside out. We've turned it every way. But Lord, help us tonight, I pray. Speak to us from your word, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's speak again tonight on an overcomer in the galleries. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Now I ask you, is Peter speaking to a person with the Holy Ghost? A person born again? Oh, yes. Yes, he is. He's speaking to one who's been converted and changed from within. Or the soul would be in perfect harmony with the flesh, which is the way we were before we got saved. Now listen who he's addressing. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Strangers. Those who are moving into this place, I read it to you last week, and they do not have citizenship of this country. And pilgrims, ones who have left home and who are on a journey back home. Now we're talking about the elect of God then. So they came from home and they're on their way back home. So I beseech you as strangers, people that are in this world without a citizenship. I beseech you as people who have left another world and you have come to this world, but you're like the little dewdrop. You are headed back where you come from. Then you have been converted while you are in this stage of your journey. Now he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain, which is apikomia, hold oneself off, refrain, or abstain. Now listen, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Now you imagine that these people have a soul which has now been born again. In the world, when we're born into the world, our soul, our spirit, our body, our mind, our temperament, everything about us is in complete harmony with hell. That's right. We're carnal minded. We're carnal in our soul. We're carnal in our body. We're carnal in every aspect of us. And this can only be spoken to a real son or daughter of God, which has been truly born again. And then this sets a war in the soul. The soul is against the spirit and the flesh. And then they, of course, in turn are against the soul. Now notice how he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims that you abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Now, true born again child of God is the only one that can really relate to this. Now, many people think because they are taught in their conscience, well, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And we know even as children, that God gives us this by conscience to where we have an element of knowing right from wrong. By birth, an element of that. And then we begin to override it. We tell our first lie, our second lie, our third lie, on and on. And then we begin to override that conscience and we make it more indelicate, insensitive to right and wrong. Then eventually many folks lose that. But to a person who's truly born again, it is not just their conscience that the war is going on, but it is because the king has enthroned himself in their soul now, and it will be a constant battle. And the church said, let's read this together if you would in question and answers. How can I take a cucklebur and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. The only way it can be is because inside that cucklebur has been transmitted from a cucklebur, notice now, a cucklebur to a germ called wheat life. Then you bury the cucklebur and it'll produce a grain of wheat. Now notice, this is a very peculiar anomaly that Brother Branham is using. So it's almost like a cross species or a changing of one species to another. That's very, it's very great symbolic of what we are. Now he's taking something that in nature would never be able to happen, because the cucklebur and the wheat germ would not have enough likening in them where this could actually happen to them. him. It would have to be something that would be parenthetically closer together to where that the genomes and all that would be able to match. It could never take place in a cockleburr or a wheat. So he's using contrast. And Brother Branham would speak in great contrast, as did Paul, as did Peter, as I do, as other men do as well. And they will preach in contrast to in order to reach, to be able to get your attention, because it's one contrast to the other. So he takes this in something to show us a great story. So he takes now a cockleburr, which all of you that know cockleburrs, you know what they are. You may not know much about their nature, their genetic makeup and all that, but you know enough about them to know that if you get them on their clothes, they're as aggravating as they can be. And the more you get them on there and try to pick on them and take them off and take them off, and if you're not careful, the more you dig at it, the more you'll embed it in your dress or your pants or whatever it is that you've got on. You understand that? Now watch what he does. Now he said, how would I ever be able to change a cockleburr into a wheat? Now I said, it would be impossible. So now what's the parallel that he brings is that you would cut open the cockleburr and put a wheat leaf on the inside of that cockleburr. Now he said, that's right, because there has been a leaf of wheat put in the cockleburr, and the leaf of the cockleburr has been taken out. The leaf of the cockleburr, which would be the heart or the very inside that gives the cockleburr its ability to reproduce. Now, when the cockleburr, like other seeds and other fruits, come to maturity, then everything that was in the parent plant now empties itself through the stature of growth, and it comes right up in the cockleburr, these other seed-type plants or flowering plants, and you plant that. And what will it do? Reproduce over and over and over again. Now what the prophet is doing is showing us a symbolism of how the nature of the life is now been broken by a transfer of another life. Now what he's doing is going inside and showing us something in symbology, as I said, that in natural botanics cannot be produced. But he's showing us how that the heart of that thing can be cut open. So we cut open the outside of the cockleburr, we risk getting stuck, getting hit, get smacked by the cockleburr, because that's typical for cockleburr nature. But we go beyond that and we go ahead and cut it out. Then we open it up and we reach down into the germ of the cockleburr itself. Now, actually, the sticky part of the cockleburr will not reproduce the cockleburr's nature. It's not even the hull itself that will reproduce the cockleburr's nature, but it's what's on the inside. So God now is giving us a symbol of what happened to us by the new birth. So we cut open the cockleburr and very carefully we pull it apart like this. And as we do, we reach down inside of it and we start pulling out little pieces of the soul. I mean, what's on the inside of that? The nature that's on the inside. Now, as we remove every bit of that, now what we want to do is to be able to go over here now and get a wheat life out of a wheat grain. And we're now going to transfer this, taking out of the wheat. Now, it's not going to be totally wheat. It's going to be wheat life. Notice Brother Ben didn't say that we're putting a wheat seed inside of a cockleburr seed. But what we're doing is putting a wheat life inside of a cockleburr body. Oh, glory to God. We're not putting a wheat seed inside of a cockleburr seed, but we're talking about life. We're talking about life. We're talking about the life you were born with and the life you have been reborn with, and that genetics of God placed inside of that cockleburr, and we close the cockleburr back up. Notice now he says the life of the cockleburr has been taken out. The life of the cockleburr has been taken out. But the nature of the cockleburr is still sticky. Wow. So the life of the cockleburr has been taken out, but the nature. So what is the nature of the cockleburr that we're talking about then? The outer hull. Now what's the contrast of you in the new birth? So God replaces that sinful nature that was in your soul that you were born with. God replaces that with his own life, but yet the cockleburr outside your flesh, this that we love so much and almost worship daily, it is still carnal and sticky. That's why I can stick to the wrong kind of music or the wrong kind of pictures or the wrong kind of movies or the wrong kind of this. Why? Because it's got this sticky part that just grabs a hold of it. It just gets down inside. And you go to, let me go, let me go, let me go. What's done? It is sticky. You come on, don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You've got these big, long, sticky things on the outside of you. And that's why this flesh of ours constantly has to be crucified. Oh my, notice this now. He says the nature of the cucumber is still sticky, but the nature we're talking about is no longer the life. The nature is on the outside. And it will be until this new life has fully, oh my, has fully been developed out of the ground and raised up. Can't you see the picture becomes into perfect view at the resurrection? You're going to be bothered by this old body every day of your life. Brother Donovan, when am I going to be delivered? At the first resurrection, my brother. When God will bury you in the resurrection of Christ, and God will demand this cockle-bear body to be changed. It will be until this new life. What life? The wheat life inside the cucumber. So it's now been opened, the cucumber life taken out, laying over on the side. That old sin laid on the head of the devil goes back to the judgment. And then God takes the lamb life, now slips it down inside the cucumber and stitches it back together. And here you've got this weird, strange thing called a cuckoo wheat. And this is why we still need our hide burned. It's the cuckoo part. The wheat part rejoices and the cuckoo pouts. The wheat says, thank God for a preacher that tells the truth. And the cuckoo says, I'm not sure I even like Brother Donnie. I'm not sure I even like him. Well, don't worry, honey. I'm not sure I even like you either. So that means we're on the same page. But as long as we know who it is that we don't like, my cuckoo probably don't like your cuckoo. But if we're born of God, you gotta love me and I gotta love you. Amen. We not only got to, we want to do it because we're born again. Now watch, he says when he comes forth, there's no more cucumber. But while it's here on earth, in the out of the earth and a cucumber, it's still sticky, but it's got the nature on the inside of it. Friends, I don't understand for the life of me why people can't see this. What is this so complicated to understand what God has done? God opens you up and took that old life out of you and put in a new nature. I love this right here. Don't you go to sleep on me tonight, devil. You stay right here where I can stomp on your head. Don't you even go back up where the deacons are. Now notice this. As long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. Now, some of you think that's awful. You ought to be shouting your shoe heels off. The good thing about it is it bothers you. Why does it bother you? Because you've got a wheat heart. You've got a wheat life. Oh, my. You think carnality bothers the world. They love it. Why? They got cucumber soul, cucumber spirit, cucumber body, but you have been changed. Your mistakes bother you. Your failures bother you. Your shortcomings, but do they? Why? You've been operated on. This is why you can feel so weird. You are a strange thing. You cuckoo wheat. Glory! You can feel so heavenly and walk out that door and the wrong person say something to you in the wrong way and all of a sudden you feel sticky. Praise be to God. Oh my, set in heavenly places and soar where the eagles soar. And my, you get out in the car and one of the kids say something or do something and you feel like you're down with turkey vultures. You think, what in the world happened to me? I was so enjoying that service. It's the cuckold part. The cuckold part clashes with your wife's cuckold part. Or clashes with your son's cuckold part. Or your daughter's cuckold part. Or maybe worse than that, you went through a drive-through. And you ordered this and this and this, and they gave you what they wanted you to have. Oh, my. That's what I do. Sometimes me and Carol go through the drive side and say, just give me what you want. You're going to anyhow. Surprise me. I hope the man who invented drive-thrus and glitter don't have to walk before me at the day of judgment. He's going to have a slam time getting in the gates. Oh my, you mean Brother Donnie, you're sticky? Yeah, and I'm more honest than some of the rest of you hypocrites. Praise the Lord. Oh my, notice this, as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. Brother Terry, I love this, but listen how Brother Bambi, I mean, to me it makes it so simple. But the inside of you, you're born again. Why is that complicated, Brother? What is so difficult to try to understand that? The inside of you, Brother Donnie, you're making excuses for mistakes. I'm not doing any such thing. I want to take the word and empower you to help you to know how to overcome. And realize when you do make mistakes, don't let the devil try to take out of your soul that wheat heart. But place that thing down inside of you by the grace of God. I am wheat on the inside, but I'm still a cock of wheat. The inside of you, you're born again. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ and all the sin is gone from you. That's the thing. This is what we long for. This is Romans 8:23. Waiting for the redemption of the cockle. The body. Notice in Romans 6:12, Paul says again, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. We looked at this many times, but the word reign, basidio, to be king, to exercise kingly power, to exercise the highest influence. Now remember your body, when we look at the body itself is neutral. Your body can be able to, you can raise your hands and cry out of them tears, real genuine tears. You can be able to take them hands and open up in the Word of God and read the Bible. You can also open up a book that have filth and nonsense in it from the very same hands. Why? Because your body is neutral. If your body was demon-possessed and could not be controlled by the Holy Ghost, there would be no neutrality. But the neutral part is this. It's going to yield to one of these two powers. Oh my. Notice now Paul says, let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it. Oh my. Now he didn't say it would never be there and aggravate you. But what you're going to stop is the obedience. Amen. That ye should not obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members. It's as if though he's talking about you and your body are two different people. Notice how he says in verse 13, neither yield ye your members, which tells us that I'm not my members, but they are mine. But they are not me. They are a possession. Amen. They are a possession of mine, and it's up to the basilio in my soul who will control them. And this other power out here is constantly trying to pull on the cockle bear sticky part. But notice who's going to do this now. Neither yield ye your members. God ain't going to do this for you. Or if the pastor, or Brother Donnie, Brother Donnie, these preachers, no, it's you. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. You mean a Christian could yield their tongue, their eyes, their fingers? Why? Because the body is neutral. A person could raise their hands and cry and worship God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. And they could say, Brother Jim, out of the peripheral vision of their eye, and they had a word with him before church that wasn't too good. And all of a sudden, their body feels anger. Aggravation. Why? The body is neutral. It can switch just like that. I've seen folks in church. They're just laughing, man. They are enjoying what you've got to say to you. Step on their toes and they get mad and hornet. Get up and stomp out. My goodness, never have the same attitude, and then get on Facebook and post a bunch of junk about you. Why? Their body is neutral. Now, they could have gone and said, well, I want to thank God I was able to go to church tonight and hear a man of God preach the word. But most of them knew that. No. They're going to let their body, because it is neutral, be able to express their anger. And I don't like this and I don't like that. I sure didn't like the singing tonight. I thought the heat was too high. I thought the drums was a little bit loud. I didn't like to hear them talk about it. They wasn't nothing good at all out of that service. But somebody else that submitted the neutrality of their body to the influence of the Holy Ghost, they said, Lord have mercy. You talking about a meeting tonight, boy, did we have church. I mean, the Holy Ghost come by and burnt me up one side, down the other. And if people would read them posts, they'd think, was y'all at the same service? You can be at the same service and have two total different outcomes according to your attitude, though. We know how that works, don't we? We've all been there. Now, notice he said, neither yield ye your members. Now listen to me. It is no sin to be tempted. And while the solicitation of sin is still in the devil, listen to me, it is still his sin. Do you understand? He will not only be judged for every sin he caused you to do, he will be judged for tempting. While the solicitation for you to do wrong is still in the devil, it's still his sin and can't touch you. Until you take that solicitation and you take those thoughts and those things that he's trying to get you to say or do, and you take that as your own, then you enter into temptation. Oh my, then the devil's sin is ours. But that's only half the story. If the Lord God projects to me his righteousness, his purity, his glory, his holiness, as long as he stands there and projects it, I want to forgive you, I want to redeem you, I want to save you, I want to make you free. It's only his. Oh my. It's only his until I accept it by his grace. But then when I accept it, I become the very righteousness of God in him. Then I am no longer impure. I am no longer belonging to the devil, but I have become him. His righteousness is his. His own until I take it, and once I take it, it is mine. Yeah. Oh, glory. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Satan cannot force you to sin. We have made him like God, as if though he can make you sin, he cannot. He cannot make you disobey the word. He can put it before you. He can make it as a solicitation to tempt and do wrong, but he does not have the power. God has the power to make you do right, but he'll never usurp it. He'll not make you do it. Then he could not make you be justice before his great presence if he made you do it and didn't make everybody else do it. He could not even make the Lord Jesus die. The human body. He had to do it willingly. Lord God, thank you, Lord Jesus. He cannot force you until he wins over your will. Your will. How is he going to do it, Brother Wes? Sticky nature. So-and-so said so-and-so about you. Did they? Oh, what that hypocrite. That self-righteous. Why? Carnal, sticky nature of this right here. Now the wheat heart will say, pray for him, pray for him. If your brother sins against you, don't even repeat that. Love covers a multitude of sins. Don't even say nothing about it. But the cockle will say, are you kidding me? And the wheat will say, now you think Jesus would do that? You think Jesus would have a kind of attitude? You think Jesus would have, but I ain't Jesus. Glory. Amen. And you take your bracelet off. What would Jesus do? Bracelet went over on the side. Now I'm going to act like Donnie for a while. Come on now. Do you understand what Satan did? He was able to paralyze for a moment of time the life of the wheat. And your sticky nature was so strong because your feelings had hurt or you was upset or whatever more. And its burrs began to reach out. And it clinged to anger, it clinged to emulation and strife and wrath and whatever more. Paul said, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. I love the way he does this because he compares our body members. Notice the words that he uses here. Your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So he compares our body members to tools that craftsmen or artisans would use. Very same word. And it's also the same word that a soldier would use when it would be his implements of war. And Paul places it as if though that our members of our body, our sight, our hands, our eyes, and our voice and all that, they are simply instruments. So the neutrality again of the human body, they are instruments and here's two great powers. The wheat life on the inside and the cockle nature on the outside and the instrumentality of the human makeup. Here it is, the flesh and bones and so on. It is that human part, the neutral part, and both of them are vying for preeminent headship. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Notice this, he said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those. Right. Brother Don, he ain't speaking to saints. Oh, but he is. Yes, sir. As those that are alive from the dead. Now you could never say this to a sinner, because they're not alive from the dead. But these are being written to Holy Ghost filled saints. Which used to be cockle burr, but now they're cockle wheat. A new creation in the same old temple. A part of you can remember the sum of the sins you used to do. And there may be a part of you that thinks about it with an element of pleasure. Don't sit there and look at me lying like you don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, Brother Donnie, not me. Well, I see your favorite sin was lying. Praise the Lord. My, my. Notice so high puts the neutrality of the body. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. So who's doing the yielding? You are. So wheat is yielding cockle. Or cockle wants to overpower wheat. And if you ain't prayed and read your Bible and you've been more concerned about going here and there and there than coming to church and hearing the preached word, and cockle gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and that old black bulldog, man, I'm telling you what, he's weighing over in the corner pulling on the ropes and he's ready to tangle with your little white poodle. Some of you've got a black Great Dane in this corner. He's 4.5 feet tall, 250 pounds. Over here, we got a little old poodle over here. He's about this tall and about that long. And you've got him on a fast. You don't ever feed him. You don't ever take him to a prayer meeting. And that Great Dane piles out of there, and that little old poodle. What's he want to do? Look for the trainer back to the corner. But brother, I'll tell you one thing. When you feed that white dog, he piles out of that corner and he pulls them ropes. He does a few jumping jacks around and says, come on, big boy. Come on, big boy. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And here comes that Great Dane. He does a little bit of spiritual karate. He kicks him on the bottom of the legs, chops him on the back of the neck, hits him right in the tongue, causes him to bite his tongue half off, kicks him up in the goozle, wraps him around the neck. And that Great Dane said, God, have mercy on me. Oh, somebody help me out of this fix. What in the world have I done? This poodle is wearing me out. You see, the cockle likes to make his brag. I'm bigger than you. There's more of me than there are of you. And be honest, which one have you seen the most of your entire life? Cockle or wheat? How do you even know the wheat's there? Are you sure you even believe it? Are you sure what you're saying? Is it really real to you? After all, have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen your Holy Ghost? Have you ever seen the supposed wheat life that's down on the inside of you, supposedly? I've been with you your entire life. Was it the wheat, the squall, when the doctor hit you? Was it me? When you broke that dish, when you and your little brother, your little sister was fixing to get a whooping, was it the wheat or was it me that got you out of it? Was it me or the wheat that picked up that Snickers bar when you went to the grocery store, that damn stuck it down your pocket and nobody noticed it? Don't sit there, friends, and look at me like you have no clue what I'm talking about. We have a whole lot more experiences, and our flesh can remember all the cockle did. But let me point out, do you remember the shame he brought you? Do you remember the disgrace, the humiliation, the shortcoming? May I also remind you, has your cockle ever made you feel the way that wheat germ makes you feel when you're in the presence of God? Can that cockle ever make you feel the way that Holy Ghost does when it begins to come down that channel on the avenue of God? Can it ever do that? Never. Oh, you may be bigger. You may be more than I've seen. Oh, yes, I've seen you with my own eyes, but I know what's got a hold of me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. This ain't a Baptist scripture. It's a bride scripture. All scriptures are for the bride. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. I feel sorry for him when I read this meeting, because this is going to set some of you free. The Greek word topos, which means room, license, any portion or space marked off, opportunity, power, or occasion for acting. Some of us have marked off the devil a special parking spot in our parking lot. Now, here Paul says, don't even give him no room. Don't have a special bedroom in your house for the devil. Don't ask the devil what he likes to eat. You like Cheerios or Chex? Do you like Coke or Pepsi? Which one you want, devil? We want to make as comfortable as possible. I don't. If he wants to come around my house, I want to make that rascal as uncomfortable as I can. I want to get alone with God and go to pray until I break loose in a language that he can't take. I want to go to shaking and jerking around if the Holy Ghost jerks me that way. So the devil said, Lord, have mercy, that man's out of his mind. I can't take it no more. I don't want there to be no room in my life for the devil. He's got a right to a castle. That's a lie. You're the one that gives him license. Some of you have licensed the devil to rob you of your health. You've licensed him to steal your peace. You need to take his license tonight. Amen. You remember Brother Joel Forney's been sick, had some blood pressure problems and some things that went on several months ago. Run off the road. The state of North Carolina revoked his driver's license. We saw him on Thursday, Brother Darrell and myself. He still can't drive. Won't be able to for a few weeks in it, Brother Darrell, something like that. They determined him unfit until they've made sure that he's well. So they took his license. Glory. Some of you've issued the devil a license to destroy your kids. You've issued a license of divorce to destroy your marriage. You've issued a license to rob your peace and to take away your home and destroy it. You need to revoke the license tonight. I changed my mind, devil. It was in a bad way when I give you that room. Get your stuff out tonight. Get out of here, devil. Get your pillow, your covers, and your quilts, the whole mattress and everything. We're stripping the room. Get out of here. We're making room for angels. We're making room for the Holy Ghost. We're making room for healing. We're making room for deliverance. Devil, get out. Get out, devil. You ain't got no room. Can you imagine we can give the devil a place? I get sick of hearing Christians say, the devil told me this and the devil told me that and the devil told me something else and the devil told me something else, and they couldn't quote 10 scriptures word for word to save their life. You know why? You're listening to a liar more than you're listening to a truth teller. Well, it started this morning. I got up to fix my coffee. The devil said, God don't love you. This is Saturday. You ain't going to church, are you? You know he's going to burn your heart. He don't love you. He's going to get all over you. Why don't you go to Walmart tonight? Why don't you go to Sam's Gap? Why don't you go over here and do this, that, and other? Just stay out of church. It ain't going to do you no good, no how. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know why in the world you even go. Now, if your neighbor that lives right across the road from you, which you've never spoken to, come into your house, knocked on your door, come in, sit down and said, Jim Babb, are you going to church? No. Son, what in the world's the matter? He said, don't you go up at that one church? That guy's an absolute idiot. And he's the one up there that runs and screams and carries on, got y'all in the office, mess of trouble, whatever. And you say, please, sir, thank you for your advice, but would you please leave? I'm going to do what I feel led to do. And yet you'll let the devil camp out. You get him an electric blanket and his favorite color of comforter. Devil, what color curtains do you like in your room? Do you like chocolate covered donuts or do you like the white powder kind, devil? You don't need to even let him hang around long enough to ask him what kind he likes. You need to say, devil, get your hide out of my house. Not only that, get your hide out of my body. This is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and as long as I'm in you, I'm bringing it subject to God. Don't make no room for the devil. Well, I started to work yesterday. I hadn't even got out of the driveway. He started talking to me. You should have pulled over safely, side of the street or the cul-de-sac, put it in park, and done your seatbelt, come around the passenger side and said, get out. Get out. I'm putting on a tape of the prophet of God, or I'm putting on Brother Donnie, or I'm putting on some gospel singer. I ain't got time to listen to you and your lies. But instead we say, buckle up, devil, it's the law in Tennessee. I'm going through Duncan, you care for anything? He goes to driving around his wallet to pay for his coffee. That's all right, devil, I'll take care of it for you. You're on way too close terms. Believe it or not, there's probably actually more people who let the devil ride home with them after church than they are actually to work. After church is over, them demons gone, and they throw that right at you, and this was at you, and this was at you, and this was at you. You mean to tell me you would let this devil out of hell, which has deceived millions of people, let him do that rotten thing to you? Try to bring an accusation against a servant of God and you would sit there and nod your head and listen to that liar? Well, I wish somebody preached at me, not we'd have church if you would. Oh my. Notice he says, make room or license or any portion. Don't even yield to the suggestions of Satan in your mind. Give him no place. Oh, Brother Donnie, I've never thought, I've always thought that he had a right. A right to what? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's your right. Paul said, if this could not be done, then Paul will stand before God as a liar. Because he told us something, Brother Skip, that cannot be carried out. And yeah, I don't believe that, and neither do you. So it tells me, my friends, the devil has gained many rooms in our lives that he knows he has no right to have. Can I go on just a bit more? Oh, my. Watch this. Brother Bam said, believe us now this. We must come all in one way, and that's come knowing that we are nothing and he's all. Talking about the Lord. And being willing to surrender ourselves in him in order to receive the benefits from him. If you ever get anything from God, you have to humble yourself and become nothing before him and know nothing. Oh my, but one purpose, that is you're trying to find Jesus. Then when you humble yourself down, God will exalt. But when you exalt yourself, God will see that you are brought to a base. That's right. He said so in his word. Oh my. So what is the key? Surrendering ourselves. Surrendering. Again, he says, then there's another little door. Now he's preaching on the doors inside the human heart. It's called the door to selfishness. Oh, how we like to guard that little door with a padlock. I'll go down there if there's anything in it for me. Oh, if it's for me and my church and for me and my denomination, I'll be willing to go to get anything out of it. That's selfish. You ought to open the door and let Jesus come in. Oh, it's an important door. I don't mean to be rude, but if I only mean to be honest, and there's a little door that's found in the heart, both of men and women, is called the door of pride. Whew. And in that you'll say, come in, in Lord, I'll join your church, and I'll pay my tithings, and I'll buy the widow some coal, and buy the orphan some food or some clothes. But I don't want to surrender my pride. I think I'm just a little bit better than so and so. Jesus can't be the ruler then of your being. It makes no difference how much you sing, shout, run, jump, preach, prophesy, talk in tongues. If you have this attitude in your heart that you're better than somebody else, Jesus can't be the ruler of your being. Come on at you. Do we want him to be, or do we just want to play church? Again, he says, if he is the same, then we should sell out. Surrender everything to him. Our motives, our objectives, our wills to him. And there's only two ways to do anything. That's right and wrong. Oh, dear God. No. I just knew he was going to say God's way and the devil's way. But instead he said my way and God's way, which is the same thing. Your cockle didn't come from God. It come from the serpent. Oh, I know preachers in the message about blow a gasket when they hear you say it, but the prophet of God still said, every man, woman, boy, or girl, whether you're priest, pope, bishop, whatever you are, but born between Satan and Eve. You'll never defeat that old hissing serpent till you realize it either. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Whew. Your way is always wrong. No. Your way is always wrong. Moses found out that his way didn't work. And as Moses learned the hard way, so have I learned it that way. Oh my, no doubt, but many of the people here tonight sitting here, standing here, has learned it the same way. It's a hard way. It's best to surrender your will to God's will and hold a conference with him. Oh, my friends, don't you understand what gets us in so much trouble? What causes clashes among families and in churches? It's our ways which clash. Whew. When you come to total obedience, then you can have possession. But until you totally obey, you've got to completely surrender your own thoughts, your own will, your own mind, and let the mind of Christ operate in you. Now, do you think Christ, the mind of Christ in you, would say the days of miracles is past? You honestly think that the mind of Christ and folks in this message is saying that Brother Branham fulfilled all five offices of the apostle, prophet, pastor, and teacher, and evangelist, and we don't need no more preachers? It's the mind of Christ, all right? Anti-Christ. How could Jesus say, I'm not a healer no more? I'm not a savior no more? I'm not a redeemer no more? That's not my Jesus. If my Jesus was once a healer, he is still a healer. If he was once a deliverer, he is still a deliverer. If he can get our will out of the way. Would Christ say the days of miracles is past? Do you think the mind of Christ and you would say the Bible's right in some places and not in others? The mind of Christ would sanction every word that Christ ever said. That's right. So if you don't use your own mind, just use his mind. Let me go a bit farther and we'll stop. The important thing, one of the important things that we must master. Now remember this, especially you young preachers and lay members alike. There's one thing that we've got to master if we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life, and that is we have to master the thought of human ability. But you see, friend, this is the problem. We feel like our human abilities are gifts from God. We feel like all of our great abilities as a human is gifts from God. That's why we won't let them go. Because we cherish them. We think they're so great. So wonderful. They're gifts from God. Not according to what the prophet said they're not. I met a lot of folks with a lot of great faith, human faith. But you can tell by the arrogance that it produces whenever God answers a prayer for them, it's not the faith of God. Now you're going to have a really hard time ever getting that person to a spot to where they can realize what they need to do is commit their strong human faith over into the divine providence of God and let God use His own gift of faith which He put in them. You see, what God wants to use is His own gifts in our lives. Now, for many of us that come from Pentecost and those who have had supernatural experiences with God, for many people, they feel like their experience as far as tongues or visions or dreams or whatever more, all that is so heavenly. And when they come to the message of the hour, they will judge the message of the hour by previous experiences instead of vice versa. Why? Because they so feel like that was from God. I'm not saying that it wasn't. But if it's really God, it'll lead you to higher heights and deeper depths than the Word of God. Praise the Lord. But for those who feel like, well, I'm hard-headed, I'm stubborn, it runs in my family, and boy, God's going to use my stubbornness to whoop on the devil. No, He ain't. God wants to give you real determination as a gift from Him. And then He'll take that gift of determination that He gives you and will conquer all of hell with that once you've surrendered your own strong human will. But most of us want God to use what we already have, and it comes from mama and daddy. Or grandma, or grandpa, or uncle so-and-so, and aunt so-and-so, and we treasure because we just know it's gifts from God. It's your human ability. I'm kind of glad we had the shouting part earlier. At least we could say we had a good meeting. Oh my. Notice he says, if we ever get to a spot where we think we can do it, with our own intelligence and our own abilities. Now notice the way he's separating this from God-given gifts. Our own abilities. We've got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of the thing and lay it aside so God can use us. That's right. Again, he says, make a complete surrender. We cannot use. You're kidding me. We cannot use. What? Friends, this is why many of us are no farther up the road. We cannot use one ability. It's amazing to me when you study human makeup. And you know there is no perfect human makeup. No matter who you look at and how great their characters and their traits and all are, you study every human, you'll find faults. I'll get scoured, crucified, hung up on a tree, and whatever more. But Brother Branham's makeup was not perfect either. Paul's makeup was not perfect. Moses' makeup. There's only been one makeup on the earth that was perfect, and that was the Lord Jesus. God could use what Jesus was because He got nothing from Mary. The egg, the seed, and the whole thing was a creation of God. So Jesus Christ, the human body, had no human ability that He inherited from any parents. It's amazing how that our call so many times will coincide with human abilities that we have. God puts a call on our life. My, it's amazing when you look at it how that people tend to have this certain thing that'll run almost parallel to the spiritual call they have. And this is why they feel they're definitely called. I've always been a leader. Well, I mean, now always. That's not always a good sign. A leader that can't take instruction becomes an Adolf Hitler. A real leader can be led. Praise the Lord. But too many people have leadership abilities. Y'all just like women. That's why some of them thought this call to preach. That's why some of the women in this message, if we believe in women preachers, there's women right here tonight that think they was. Oh, Jesus. I feel sick. Why?
Human ability. Human ability. And God can't use it.
But God equips us and gives us things we need. And many times there'll be a twin. Lord Jesus. My friends, the twin in our revival is a lot closer than out here. The twin in our revival ain't a Pentecostal, Brother Rob. It's somebody in this message. And your twin don't look like me. It looks like you. Your twin of human abilities will mirror so close to what God divinely will place in your life. And Satan will try to urge you toward that Esau of following the call of God after the human abilities instead of surrendering Esau and let God place in you that which he gave you, then God use his gifts. Then it's not God using your abilities, it's God using his gifts. Can I go a bit farther? Oh, Lord Jesus. Notice this. He said, we've got to make a complete surrender. We cannot use one ability. We've got to make a complete surrender. And to come to God, you've got to surrender to him, both soul, body, and spirit. Everything that you are should be surrendered to God in order that he can work his will in you and me. Now, that's hard, I know. Because we're always wanting to put our part in. Why? We feel like our part is from God. It's your twin talking.
If you'll let me handle this, I'll tell you one thing, glory to God. It'll be a lot better than the way you handled it last time. When you're going to sit down over and let me tell you how to do this. When pigs fly.
Notice this. Now, I know that's hard. I know, because we're always wanting to put our part in it. Something we know, you know, that we want to do. That we say, I just know it should be done this way. But as long as you're doing it that way, it's going to be done wrong. And God will never use that effort. Friends, we need a revival right here on this subject right here. Message folks around the world need to hear such things from the prophet's message. And not only hear it, but believe it and obey it. Maybe with the help of the Lord, we're going to get into that in a few minutes and just show you how God cannot use your ability. It'll never be until every person that professes to be a Christian will forget his own ability and yield himself to God that God can achieve his purpose by sending not a revival, but brother, what we need to do first is send a killing. Lord of mercy. So we can revive. You've got to die before you can be born again. He needs a killing of ourselves. This tabernacle needs a killing. Can I update this? Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ, we need a killing. Donald E. Reagan Jr., you need a killing. Oh, I don't need to be born again. I don't need the Holy Ghost. I need to die to anything that hinders me from being able to yield to the Spirit of God. Notice, Brother Adam said, this tabernacle needs a killing and me with it. I can follow a prophet like this. I can follow a man of God like this that applicates you. I'll follow a man of God, Brother Terry, that can put himself in line that he needs correction. Oh my, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Me with it, praise be to God. All of us, we need to kill it so we can be revived in a new life. A new hold, a new hope, a new experience. We need first a day of mourning. Let me close with this. So we got to get away from that human ability. We've got to get to a place where we can surrender our souls, our lives, even to the housewife, to the farmer, to the mechanic, whoever you are. We've got to surrender completely to God and know, not just say it, but know we are nothing. Then let God start from there, and He starts moving, working. And that includes all of us, everyone. That is the thing we've got to do. Oh my. But how do you give up your great gifts, your great abilities? Oh my, I can preach, I can teach, I can do this and I can do that. As long as you've got that attitude, that's as far as you'll go. Some of the preachers in this message could leave this message today and be Baptists and Catholics and Charismatics and Pentecostals. Because that's all some of them are anyway. Only stand behind a message pew. Some of the songwriters in this message could leave the message tomorrow and start writing country songs. Why? Human ability. What's their arrogance? What's how proud they are? Many these songwriters around the message make their songs infallible, nearly like the word. Preachers standing behind the pulpit and act like they're God. Mr. Cockle. Dr. Cockle. Praise the Lord. Let me read one more, can I? The thing of it is having nothing. Nothing that you can depend on in your own self. Or anything that you can do. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. When times get hard, I've always been able to pray. I've always been able to, man, no matter what. That may be the last thing that you'll have to let go of. Is you thinking that you have this special something where you can always pray. And you can always get through. And you can always sing. You can always preach. Brother Jim, to where we have nothing. Zero. Have you ever been to a place, friends, where you felt like you couldn't pray? Or sing, or your brothers preach, or study, or whatever more? You see, Brother Don, but that makes us so weak. Right. Right. Somebody finally got it. Glory. It sounds like to me you want to make us a bunch of weaklings. I'm one to make you so weak you can't even walk without holding His hand. I want to help you get down so weak you can't even pray without Him. You can't go to church without Him. You can't live right without Him. Then we'll have a church on this hill. The thing of it is, having nothing you can depend on in your own self or anything you can do, just a complete, total surrender of your weaknesses unto God and say, here I am. Have nothing. No ability. You can trust in. Now, friends, many times in our subconscious, you don't realize it. You're not doing it to defy God. You love Him. Many of you love Him with all your soul. But in your subconscious, you are trusting in a part of you that you consider as a gift. Which some of your brothers haven't and your sisters haven't and even saved. It's a human ability. I've told you before, I knew a preacher years ago on Pentecost. He was had a great memory. Great memory. He'd memorized new verses of Scripture every day. He'd walk around the house of the people he was staying with at a motel or whatever more, and he'd put to memory, had much of the Scripture put to memory. And if the service would get a little bit hard, kind of like it is right now, everybody got quiet, you know, drawed back. He'd go to quoting Scripture. I mean, spit it out like a Gatling gun. And my, the people were mesmerized. And they'd loosen up. What was it? Human ability.
Now, I can stand here tonight and try to dig out some human ability and pacify all of you and put a pamper on you and give you a pacifier and a big old bottle with a nipple on the end of it and make you all feel good. Or I can lay all that aside and say, God, speak to us. Burn our hide. Kill us, God. Kill us, God. It may hurt your feelings. It may hurt my feelings. And more than likely it will. But we'll be better people when we leave. Friends, God has overcome many, many things in your lives. Smoking, marijuana, all kinds of things. And many of you honestly think you've committed to God everything. But you haven't. It's your abilities. And if you listen to yourself talk the way other people do, it'll come out. Some of you are so convinced that everybody loves you so much. So consciously you'll say it and probably don't hear, these people love me to death. They love me. How do you know that? That's you saying what you think they do. What is that? It's your own esteem. You value yourself so highly that you can speak on behalf of others. They think so much of you. Really? What is that? An ability. Well, if I'm invited back in the morning, I'll try to pick this up. My goodness. I got to read two more quotes. I know I said I was going to stop, and I did stop and give you time to get up, and then I'm going to start again here. Paragraph 153, listen to this. Friends, to me, this is astounding. God cannot use our natural abilities. We've got to get ourselves and our abilities out of the way and surrender to the will and the power of God. You say, well, brother, I can preach. He can't use that as long as you can preach. That's all right. I can do this. I can do that. You can't do nothing. God can't use it. But if you yield yourself and let Him do it. You, Brother Branham, I'm a teacher. Well, as long as you're the teacher, you won't get very far. But the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Can't you see some of these preachers that come out of form or moves and they come into the message? Look at a lot of these men, friend, that have led message people off into this and that and the other. Trace their background and see where they've come from. And see, they never got a word birth of Malachi 4. All they done is trade doctrines and they use their human ability. They use their human ability from Pentecost or from Methodism or Episcopalian or whatever more. And they come around the message and then they bring it right around. Once they get in for a while, then they go to vying around for position. I'm Caleb. I'm Joshua. I'm so and so and so. What is it? Human ability. And they have charisma. And they know how to talk to people. And they know how to move people. Cannot we understand? This is what made Brother Branham the greatest prophet of God that ever stood on the earth. The Lord Jesus, of course, was greater. We know that. He's not even in the same category. But as far as men, there was never a prophet that had the man of visions, the visitations, the supernatural, on and on and on and on that this man had. What made him so great? Humble. Humility. And apparently a lot of these folks that are accusing him of being this and that and the other, apparently they've never listened to very many tapes. I just listened to the some this week, and I was down in my basement. I was doing a little work down there, and I just stopped and I just listened to this. He said, now friends, you know, he said, just so glad to be here tonight, and I just love y'all so much. And I was around this week talking to some of the business people. I was down at the restaurant, down at the hotel, and they tell me what nice people you all were and how nice you all were and their businesses and stuff. And to me, that's your behavior. That's your conduct. And I went over to this restaurant and the man said, you're Brother Branham? I said, yeah. Well, I feed all your people down here. I said, well, sir, I guess they crowd you. No, he said, some of the nicest people I ever seen in my life. And he said, if I ever have a crown, if I ever have a crown, y'all will be that shining part in that crown. Arrogant, a deceiver, a liar, trying to lead people to hell. That's not what I hear.
Praise God. You love, friends. You love the Lord Jesus with all your soul, your heart. Should we love one another? We should. Should we have a self-love? We should. God gives it to us, our abilities to feed and to thirst and all these things. It is a natural self-love. Our body is so timed. You think God in the beginning, when He made man, before sin ever came, before there was ever an automobile, God made the reaction of your time where you could respond to sudden instances to be 3/4 of a second. Now you imagine you wouldn't need that in the days of Solomon when they had chariots. But God made you knowing one day they'd have cars. And there'd be people stop in front of you. Now what if He'd made that delay about 5 seconds long for the day of chariots? Come on, Joe. Giddy up, Joe. But God provided for you. God provided for you. Don't you thank God for that? And He's given you so many things. And they're good things, many of them. But when they become our detriment, it's when we go to giving them to God and say, now God, here, look at all this. Look at what I am. God, You're so fortunate to have me. I'm telling You what, it's a good thing I'm on Your side, not on the side of the devil now, God. I'm bringing all that I am and I'm laying every bit of it right here. Lord, I want You to use it all. God said, nope, can't use one bit of it. And you're thinking, you've got to be kidding me. You don't want none of this. Well, my grandpa was that way, and my uncle Joe was this way. And my uncle Frank, God said, that's the problem. But you're talking about men, women, boys, and girls that can really conquer us when they take all them great abilities and they lay them right on the altar and they say, now God, according to the message of the hour, You can't use none of this. So I'm bringing every bit of it right here before You tonight. I'm just backing off from it. I've been so proud of it for years. I've been so arrogant with it. Man alive, my strain in the family, it's been one of the trademarks of my life. I've heard tonight you can't even use that. And you lay all that up there. There's this and this and this and this. Isn't it amazing that Paul said don't make no room for the devil, but he didn't say don't make room for God. Amen. That's what we want to do, Brother Darrell. Lay our abilities aside. Lay this aside and that aside. And then say, Lord, now I've got all this empty room. What are You going to do with it? Then you lay your faith aside and God will give you His faith. Amen. Then you lay your knowledge aside and then God will give you His knowledge. And you lay your temperance and your ability to do this and that and the other. Every one of them that we lay aside. Then God can gift us with His. And then God can use His faith, His temperance, His love, His meekness, His kindness, His forgiveness. All of that. Then God is using Himself. So God ain't using your ability to do this and my ability to do that and your ability. But what is it? God using Himself through the entire world. God using Himself. God forgiving in you. God loving in you. God praying in you. God preaching in me. God saying amen in you. God living right in you. God living right in you. What is it? God using Himself. Oh, my determination, not your determination. Lay it on the altar. Oh, my, I've always been so strong. Lay it on the altar. Let God be your strength.
Hallelujah.
Brother Darrell, Brother David, Brother Danny are going to leave tomorrow. Going to Nicaragua for a meeting there. Be going on about all week long. For the young people there, the adults come in at night. Enjoy the services. About a week in it, Brother David. Something like that. Several services during the day. I want those brothers to come up if they would. Let's pray for them. Then I'm going to pray for all y'all. And I want you praying for me. Now, these are wonderful brothers. They love God. I believe that with all my heart. They're going to go stay in a motel where they won't have hot water to take showers in. They're going with no hope of an offering, not even asking for one, because that ain't the reason they're going. They're going for souls to benefit the kingdom. They're good preachers, good brothers. Brother Danny's a good interpreter. But we don't want them going on that. We want them going on the King's ability. Amen. Your brothers, just kind of join hands together, would you? You minister brothers, you want to come up here and help me pray? I want you saints to join in with me. The Lord will just be with our brothers and help them. Lord, I know my brothers well enough to know they're not going God to see or to be seen, but going Heavenly Father because they felt your pull, your leading for them to go to this meeting. Lord, they risk getting sick and eating food that they're not used to, being inconvenienced in various ways, tremendous heat, sweating profusely, worn out in their bodies. Lord, I know them well enough to know they'll give their all. Then, Lord, Brother Danny will study with them and pray. And Lord, Brother Danny, every time he goes, I hear Brother Darren, Brother David talk about it, and he gives his all. He's exhausted, Lord, after the services and just wore out. I pray for him tonight, Lord, that you would help him. Lord God, I pray for my brothers that you would just anoint them with your presence, Lord. If there's any lick of human ability left in any of them, may they lay it on the altar tonight, Lord God, I pray. Lord Jesus, they've been preaching for years, and so have I, but Lord, I want to come with them. We want to come as ministers, Lord, all of those ministers and preachers that are standing here around the altar tonight, God. We want to come before you, Lord, and say, if there's any of our human ability left, take it from us tonight, God. But Lord, if there's human strength that I got from the Schultz side or the Reagan side or whoever more, and Lord, I use it as a crutch, take it from me tonight, God. Or let me restate that, Lord, help me to be willing to lay it on the altar. You won't take it from me. It must be willingly given. Show it to me, God. Show it to me, Lord, I pray, that I can be able to lay it, Lord God, and you'll give me your strength. Lord, I don't want my strength or my ability or my Reagan this or my Schultz that. But Lord, let it be from you. Let my strength come from you. My determination come from you. Bless my brothers, Lord. The other brothers that will be there in the meetings, the different pastors and so on, the young people that will be coming. Lord, I pray eternity will meet with them there, Lord God. There in that little camp, may the divine presence of Almighty God meet and change lives. May you heal the sick. May you baptize with the Holy Ghost. May there be things of eternal value that will come out of these meetings, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, strengthen our brothers, Lord. Keep them from sickness. Lord, from the food, from the water, whatever more that would make them sick. Help them, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. How many of you housewives tonight would like to give your ability, all your ability to God? Your sisters? All of your ability. Brothers, how many of you want to give all your ability to God? My family this, my family that, oh, I'm this, I'm that, the other. No, where we can just let return and say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't realize, Lord, I've been so dependent on this Reagan strain. I've been so dependent on this Horn strain or this Yount strain or Ward or Willis or whatever more. I've been so proud, and I realize I've been proud of a human ability. I've been proud of a human ability in me, and I have submitted that to you for years. Help me, Lord. He said, Brother Donnie, how can you preach this to consecrated Christians? Oh, it's quite simple, actually. I'll read it to you in the morning, Lord willing, if we get to it, where Brother Branham come to his people in 1954, and the Word made flesh, and he said, I told my wife today, I have developed such a critical spirit. I am so critical. And he goes to using all the different examples of how he criticized this person, and criticized that person, and criticized that one, and criticized another. And he said, I want this church to pray for me, that God will deliver me of this critical spirit. A prophet of God being critical? Any of y'all ever been critical? Three or four of you? Oh, more than that. Sure. Yeah. May God help us. Why do we do that? It's because we're retaining a part of our human ability.
We retain that and we judge people. Listen to what he said. Look at that so-and-so, and he calls a woman's name, a woman preacher that went over in India. Well, she went over and took these people's money, and she done this and that and the other, and the woman was totally wrong. He calls her name right on tape, a woman Dowd. Calls her name right there on tape and exploits her right there before the people. And even though she done wrong, it didn't justify somehow his attitude about it. Human ability. May God help us. Can we all go to God in prayer? Now, won't you pray for yourself, your wife, your children? Lord, children, don't leave me out, please. I don't ask y'all for much, but I'm asking you for your prayers. I'm a 60-year-old man. I may not have 6 months later, 6 weeks, 5 minutes, and I may have 10 or 15 or 20. I don't know. But whatever I've got left, I'd like for it to be usable by God. If I've got Reagan and Schultz and this and that and the other that I've tried to present to God, oh, it's not that I've not done things for him. It's not that I've been a help to his people. But I think I could do better if I had less of me and more of him. Let's pray for one another, and you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Some of your brothers ought to come up here and lay hands on me. Feel free to. Heavenly Father, we want to come before you tonight, Lord. I pray for the saints of God here, Lord, and those who have streamed this service and those that will hear it. Dear God, I pray you would help us. Lord Jesus, I ask you tonight, Lord, for your help and your strength and your grace. Lord, forgive me, Father. I pray if I've laid any human ability, Lord, before you. Lord God, I ask you that you'd help me to submit anything that I am, any strengths. Lord, anything that I believe is a gift from you that's no more than just a human ability. I pray, Lord, for every man of God that's here tonight. I pray for every man of God that'll hear this, Lord. I pray for your men around the world, every man servant of yours. Help us, Lord God. Your people need the ministry in this hour. Lord, they need the ministry anointed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we don't need to see human ability out of men. We don't need human personalities and to rally around a personality. Lord, we need to rally around that pillar of fire, the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help each of us, Lord, that we can surrender everything we have. Lord God, help me. Search my heart tonight, Lord. Search my life, Father. I know of no besetting sin there, Lord. But Lord, maybe it's not so much a besetting sin as it would be a retained ability. A retained ability, Father, I pray you'd help me. Help me, Lord. Show me tonight, Lord God, I promise you. I lay it right there willingly, Lord, upon the altar. And I know if I give something up, you'll give me something back. Lord, I'll be a better man. I'll be a better servant to your Father. I'll be more humble because I recognize it ain't you. Lord, if I can preach something that'll help somebody, it'll have to be you that does it. If I can get inspiration from you, Lord, it'll have to be you. Help us, everyone here tonight, Lord, every man, woman, boy, or girl, Lord, every singer, every musician, every song leader. May the presence of God move among us, Lord. May you bring that killing right here tonight, Father, that the prophet of God talked about. That the Branham Tabernacle needed. They needed a killing. I pray you'd grant that to us tonight, Lord. A killing of our ambitions. A killing of our desires. A killing of our human abilities, Lord. Let the Lord Jesus raise in our lives in a greater way. Lord Jesus, may we lay aside everything that hinders us. Lord, may we lay aside our pride, our arrogance, the human element that hinders us, Lord God. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord God. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You remember a person asked Brother Branham a question. Brother Branham, why can't I surrender to the Lord? Am I possessed of an evil spirit? Why can't I give over to the Lord? Why can't I surrender to the Lord? He said, I don't think you're possessed of an evil spirit, or you wouldn't want to give over. He said, a woman lives her whole life, her young life, and protects her virtues. So she's able to give that to her husband. And she meets that one man that she loves. And she surrenders all of that that she's lived for to protect and watch. And she gives it over willing to one man. And he said, I don't think so much that it's you can't surrender. I think it's the devil anointing your thoughts to try to convince you that you can't surrender. What is it? The cockle. The sticky part. Well, you've tried over and over again. You've tried this and you've tried that. He knows it works. But may the Spirit of God move on our wheat germ heart tonight. Praise God. Praise God. How many's going to walk out of here tonight by the grace of God with your life under a scriptural magnifying glass, as it were, and just be open? Lord, any human ability that I've tried to present to you, Lord, I am so sorry. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Help me, God, that I can surrender everything that I am to you. I honestly believe it with all of my heart. If you housewives would do it, some of your struggles in your home, of you and to your husband and maybe parenting your children, wouldn't be near as hard. You're trying to do it yourself. As long as you're holding on to your ability, you're hindering him. Your brother's working on your job, us preachers, deacons, whatever more. If we can surrender, Lord, I just can't do it. I've had abilities, Lord, in doing this and that and the other, but I realize my ability will not achieve this. You say, Brother Donnie, that's weakness. Exactly. That's what he wants it to be. Our weakness will lead to conquering power. Amen. When we know we cannot do it. But he can. Amen. Praise God. Give up and let Jesus take over. Can we just worship him a little bit now and sing a little before we go? Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Sing it for us, Harry. Let's just worship now. My, our president has been inaugurated. And some's happy, some's glad, and some's mad. Folks are protesting, doing this and that and the other. Only God knows what we're going to wind up having. But I'm telling you one thing. Our king's fixing to be inaugurated. The bride's fixing to crown him King of Kings. And I know what he's going to be. Oh, glory. The lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. No crooked politics. It's what we waited for our entire lives. If they can make their preparation for the Trump inauguration, we ought to make our preparation for the King Jesus inauguration when he's going to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, don't you love him? Let's worship him together, hey? Hallelujah.
Give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. And he'll make a Jesus, take over and heal, make a way for you. Now if you got burdens,
you got burdens
that you can't bear.
You got problems
that seem
more
than your
share.
Just tell Jesus, I know He's the one who cares, and He'll make a way for you. Oh, give up. Jesus, take over, oh, give up, and let Jesus take over, oh, give up, and let Jesus take over. You got mountains that you can't climb. Oh, and if you got valleys that you can't cross. And if you got rivers that you just can't span. And let Jesus,
oh, come on, children,
take
just watch. The healer is here. The deliverer is here. The savior is here. Whatever you have need of.
And let Jesus take
over.
Give up. And let Jesus.
Let Jesus
take over.
Worship you tonight, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, God. We bless your holy name, Father. We magnify you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight for understanding we're mortals. You wasn't a cuckold bird. You wasn't a cuckold wheat. There's nothing in that sense like we are. But yet you become so you could feel the pull of cuckold bird pull. You would feel that, Lord, even though your nature was not carnal like ours, you allowed yourself to feel the way we feel. Thank you for doing that, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. How we long for that hour when we'll be wheat body to match our wheat soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for changing us, setting us free, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. We bless your name tonight, mighty God. Hey, sing something else for us. Let's worship just a little bit before we go, can we? Oh, my, ain't it good to be in the house of the Lord. My, you imagine a lot of them folks last night went out for the inauguration ball and they danced and got drunk and got high and this and that and the other poor old things. And they got up today with a headache and a bellyache and a backache and a wallet ache and all kinds of ache. We've got something right here tonight that's much better than anything they had. It's much better, and you won't get up in the morning with a hangover. It won't rob you of your billfold. It won't make you hit your wife. It'll make you love her.
That's right. It won't make you spend your rent money for alcohol or whiskey. I'll tell you, brother, we ought to be so happy tonight for what God's done in our lives. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My, I hope you don't mind. But when I read down through Jephthah and I read down through Abraham and I look down the gallery of heroes in Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read my name and see my picture right in there as well. Because that is a gallery of overcomers. Brother Amos, I want to see you there. I want to see you, my brother, my sister. I want to see you. And not only do I want to see you, but I want you to see you. Praise be to God. Sing for us. Hey, let's just worship the Lord together. Can we just sing another before we go? It's just a few minutes after 9. My goodness, it's too early to go home yet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Here I am.
Yes, Lord.
Here I stand.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, my life is in your hands.
Hand.
All my dreams.
Oh, yes, Lord.
All my plans, Lord, I place them in your hand. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away.
Yes, Lord.
So you
yes,
can
Lord.
Use me.
Oh, hallelujah.
I give myself away. Myself away.
My abilities,
so
my thinking, my intention, my purpose,
can you
my goals, Lord. Let me give it
to you, Lord. Is not my own.
I give myself.
You, I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own.
Not my own.
Lord, to you.
give myself, I give myself to you, I give myself away.
Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Oh God, how wonderful are your works among men, Lord. Your instruction, dear God, is so perfect. Your mercy is so rich, Lord, that you, Lord, would care enough about us, Lord, to come. Tell us how to overcome, Lord, not just the age, not just the world, but how to overcome ourselves, Lord. The greatest enemy, Lord, is our own selves, dear God, our own abilities, things that get into our way, Lord. But we're so glad that you're mindful of us, Lord. God, that we could be a people, Lord, who could simply just give ourselves away.
Yes.
Oh God, I'm not a rich man. I ain't got no ability, Lord, no education hardly, God. Give me a willing heart, Lord, to be willing to get out of the way, Lord, and surrender to you. It's you, Lord. As the prophet, I heard him say the other day, the only eyes you have is our eyes, the only hands is our hands. Lord, let us be a temple so surrendered that we can see, Lord. You can see through our eyes. You can touch through our hands, Lord. Grant it tonight, Lord Jesus, that we thank you, Lord, for the word of God that we've heard tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. God, as we leave the building tonight, Lord, may we never leave this presence, Lord Jesus. Go with each one as they make their way home, Lord. We just love you tonight, God. Lord, be with us this week. Bless the meetings, Lord. For the sake of one, God. Just for the sake of one. We're willing to go, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you. Is committed to song and congregation, Lord. The words we heard tonight into your hands, Lord. May we not just hear it with our ears, but may we hear it with our hearts. Grant it tonight, Lord. Let us be Jesus to a dying generation. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. I don't know about you. I don't want to leave. But you're dismissed in the fear of the Lord tonight. May God richly bless you. Be my prayer. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
May I have,
thank you, Lord Jesus,
your attention.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I would like to introduce to you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
In this corner, of the good and the right.
Hallelujah.
Stands a champion robed in white. His height exceeds the heavens. His weight outweighs this world. His reach reaches everywhere. His reign is evermore. Somebody help me sing it. He is higher. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. I believe that. He left his hometown to enter this arena to raise his hands in victory for you and me. But that angry crowd, they cry, "Crucify this one who wore the crown." And they gladly watch my champion going down. Oh, but I can know my soul is sure. Champion of love. He's higher. He's higher than the highest. Greater than the great. No one could ever, 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 ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion.